Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special episode of Second Take. Today, we have a big storyline heading into Saturday. We have the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets, with the best player in the NBA. I think that's pretty obvious, Nikola Jokic, going against an up-and-coming team and specifically an up-and-coming star with Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. This might end up being one of the best series in the playoffs in just the second round. And I'm here with Roland today, and we're going to take a little look at the series, what we think we can expect, some things that may come up big throughout the series. And Roland, I want to start off with, what is one thing to watch for in the series between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves?
One thing to watch for in this, I mean, we can already say the best playoff series of the playoffs without even getting started. The one thing to watch is Jokic. And what I mean by that is what Minnesota will try to do or attempt to neuter Jokic's playmaking ability. Okay. Jokic in the season series only averaged 4.5 assists per game against Minnesota this year. You know, that is less than half what he normally produces. And I believe that they are going to try their best, Minnesota, to turn Jokic into a scorer. Okay. They're going to stagger Rudy off ball or off of Jokic to try to take away the lob threat that is Aaron Gordon. And then with the excellent perimeter defenders that they have, they're really going to turn Jokic into kind of an isocentric player, right? They're going to make him do what he doesn't naturally want to do, which is get everybody involved, spread the love, spread the wealth. And I can see him averaging 35 plus points per game in this series if they want to win this thing because of how Minnesota, I believe, will attack them defensively. So that is my one thing to watch. They're going to take away Jokic's best attribute. Take away is relative, obviously. But they're going to try their best to force Jokic into more of a scoring role rather than a playmaking one.
Yeah, and I actually had the same thing, basically, what I was looking at. Do you want Rudy versus Jokic or Cat against Jokic with Rudy's help, right? If you look at Rudy versus Jokic, that would mean Jokic will probably pass and put the pressure on you to play great defense all around the court, everywhere. He does what he's most comfortable doing is taking what the defense gives him through passing, scoring when he needs to, or when he gets a mismatch or an opportunity. Putting Karl Anthony Towns on Jokic would mean that Minnesota is going to make Jokic score the ball. And Rudy's a much better help defender. And, you know, Minnesota could also double with Cat guarding as the primary, but that feels a lot too risky doing it consistently. Considering looking at Michael Porter Jr.'s last series against the Lakers, where he absolutely torched them. But yeah, Minnesota did this in the regular season. They had Cat guard Jokic primarily. Like you said, it led to the lower assist numbers from Jokic. And I do think, we both think, that they're going to make Jokic beat them scoring the ball, beat them one-on-one, and they're not going to bring over too much help or anything like that. I mean, it's hard. You don't want to leave Porter Jr., and he's already super tall, so he can shoot over guys. You don't want to leave KCP. Obviously, Jamal Murray's a guy who is your kind of number two option on Denver, who Minnesota is going to try to stop. So Jokic is going to score his points, and that's what Miami did in the finals, and it didn't work out too well for Miami. So I wonder if it will really make a difference either way, because I think Jokic can beat them scoring.
I agree. I think Jokic is more than capable of beating him this way, but I do see where Minnesota's coming from. Because if you take away the other four players, that not only affects them offensively, but it affects them on the other side of the ball. A player like Michael Porter Jr. needs his touches in order to be engaged on the defensive side of the ball. Right? He had a fantastic series last series against the Lakers. He also wasn't really that big of a defensive liability from what we were watching in the games. Normally, player or other teams would target him. He wasn't that big of a target relative to what we've seen because he was feeling himself. You take that guy out of the game by not getting him touches, and I think it's a completely different story. So I do expect Minnesota to basically say, Jokic, you're going to have to beat us scoring 40 points per game, and if you do, hats off to you, right? I also think on the Nuggets side of things, because of how Minnesota will play Aaron Gordon specifically, taking away his best attribute, which is a lob threat, he's going to have to step outside and hit a couple jumpers. He's going to have to keep Rudy Gobert honest. If there's one thing that can beat Rudy Gobert, it's the corner three-point shot. Trust me, I'm a Utah Jazz fan. I've seen it. We've seen it plenty of times. Aaron Gordon, you hit a couple of those, and their whole defensive scheme will implode upon itself. So that's another big thing.
And actually, you transitioned us perfectly because we wanted to go over some of the X factors in this series. And my X factor for this series was Aaron Gordon. Looking at Aaron Gordon, it's can he make threes in this series and at least be some sort of a threat? Because he's going to be open, and he didn't shoot well against the Lakers. He shot 10%, 1 for 10 in that series. He had a great overall series against the Lakers, but not shooting wise. And the Wolves are going to have a lot easier rotations when Gordon is on the perimeter specifically, because if they're going to have Cat guard Jokic, Rudy's probably going to be taking away that the dunker spot for the most part from Aaron Gordon. But if he only shoots 10% from three, I'm not guarding him from three. He also needs to shoot. I'm going to say he needs to shoot like 30-ish percent in the series. He doesn't have to be great. Yeah, that's exactly. For two reasons. One, his confidence to keep shooting the ball. He needs to have that for non-layups and dunks. Because if he's not even looking at the basket and everyone knows he's not going to shoot it, I'm just not going to guard him. And two, to keep the defense honest, because guarding the Nuggets and Jokic becomes easier if he doesn't shoot well or doesn't even shoot, you know? Because then if he is on the perimeter spot, you can just bring someone completely off of him when you are guarding Jokic one-on-one, and then that could give you the opportunity to double occasionally while not having to worry about your rotations being scrambled in a bad place. Just make sure you protect the basket from Aaron Gordon, which Rudy Gobert is probably going to do a really good job at. And he was at least my X factor in this series.
I had him down. I had one from each team.
Okay. Let's hear
him. For me, it's going to be Porter Jr. on the other side, on Denver's side. I think he's going to have to win them a game if they want to make it out of the series. I think he's going to have a 30-point outing if they want to either steal one in Minnesota or survive the Timberwolves. Because Jokic is going to get you three. I honestly think Murray might struggle on this one because of my other X factor, which is Jaden McDaniels. That matchup between McDaniels and Murray and Edwards and Murray when they match up against each other is going to determine whether or not Minnesota has a legit chance. Because if Murray's going off, there is nothing you can do to stop the Nuggets. They can be down 20 and they can come storming back and win the game. Just ask LeBron, okay? So McDaniels has a tough assignment here, but I think he's got the chops to do it, okay? Porter Jr. last series had averaged 23 points per game, 8 rebounds and a steal. McDaniels last series had 14 points per game, 5 rebounds and a steal and a block per game. I don't know what to expect from either one of these dudes offensively, but the defensive side of the ball is where, one, you're going to be attacking Denver on Porter. But you're going to basically be attacking Porter Jr. because who else are you going to attack? Maybe Murray, whatever. But McDaniels is going to spearhead the Timberwolves defense, and that's going to make all the difference in the world. So those two players, in my opinion, are going to make the X factor. Both of them are capable of winning a game for their team, and I think it's going to come down to that.
Yeah, and Jaden McDaniels can definitely win you games, not necessarily because of his offensive input, but just because of what he does on the defensive side. He's one of their most important players because of what he does over there. I mean, just in what you talked about, his versatility is going to be key for them. He can guard Michael Porter Jr. because of his size. He has the size to match up there. He can also guard Jamal Murray, even though Murray's smaller and probably faster than him, because McDaniels is still long and athletic, and he's just really good at defense. Another thing to watch for with Jamal Murray in this series, at least, is his calf injury. Mm-hmm. He had a calf injury late in the first round against the Lakers. He was questionable for game five. He still played. And so we'll have to see if that injury does linger, to your point about Jamal Murray potentially struggling, because he didn't shoot very well against the Lakers, but he hit a lot of big shots, which kind of made everyone forget about that, because that's what really matters. But if he is still hurt going into Minnesota and going up against that defense, he could really be in for a long series.
I completely agree with you. If he struggled relatively, I mean, game five, he went off. He basically won them that game. But if he struggled against Austin Reeves as his primary defender, no offense to Austin Reeves, but he's not the Anthony Edwards or Jaden McDaniels or even Alexander Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Minnesota's got 3-4 dudes they can throw at Murray and like the matchup that they have. So that's another big reason why the big thing to watch is Jokic's scoring, because I do think Murray's going to struggle a lot. It's coming with that calf injury and just the length, speed, and depth defensively that Minnesota can throw at him.
Yeah, and then to bring up two other injuries, one player-based, one not player-based, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope also looked like he sprained his ankle in Game 5 against the Lakers. We'll have to see how good he's feeling. Got a couple days off. Haven't heard anything too much about that quite yet. I'm assuming he's still going to play, but that ankle will be something to look for. And then another thing that could end up mattering, we'll see, to be determined, is the Timberwolves head coach Finch really hurt himself. Yeah, because, you know, he had some players run into him in that last game against Phoenix. And will he be able to be on the sideline? I've heard reports he might be able to make it somewhere on the bench. But they're going to have to make some type of room for him to be able to sit there. I mean, he has an injury. He'll probably have crutches or some type of cast or something like that that's going to be taking up space. And if he has to coach back from inside the locker room, that could really make a difference for Minnesota in terms of coaching and making sure they're getting into everything they want. I'm sure their assistant coaches are great, but still need that lead guy there at the helm. Just kind of a weird situation that we haven't seen really happen ever that comes to my mind, at least in a playoff series. So I don't know how much it'll matter, but I think it could.
No, I agree. I mean, hey, no matter who it is, if it disrupts the flow in any way, shape, or form, it, with the margins this razor thin, because I do think these teams are that close competitively, anything could affect the series. So whether it's a coach, whether it's a sprained ankle, whether it's a sore thumb, anything could end up swaying the series one way or the other.
For sure, for sure. And then I also want to get into, because we've been talking a little bit about these teams, your prediction of where you think the series will go, who will win, how many games, but also why.
Dude, this one is, in my opinion, whoever wins this series will end up winning the entire thing. Okay? So this is the most important playoff matchup of the year, in my opinion. I don't think anyone out of the East is going to beat either one of these teams, especially with Porzingis injured now. So I really went back and forth for a while on this one. On one hand, you got Jokic as the best player in the series, which normally means that team wins. And then Minnesota, in my opinion, looks like the better team. They have more depth. They're better defensively. They're clicking on offense. So it was really, really difficult for me. But after all things were considered, no matter how badly I wanted to pick Minnesota, I still think Edwards has one more leap in him over the next 2 years. Until then, give me Denver, barring a freak injury.
That's fair. That's fair. something I do want to preface before I lock in my pick. I do think what we both think, Jokic is the best player in this series. If Anthony Edwards is the best player in the series, Minnesota's going to win this
Minnesota
series.
Minnesota wins. Oh, yeah.
If he plays better than Jokic, Minnesota is 100% winning. I like their depth a lot more than Denver.
I don't think Edwards needs to even play better. If Edwards is 90% of what Jokic can bring to the table, I think they win the series. I just think Jokic is that much better than everyone else currently.
Do you think if Ant plays to his how he played against Phoenix, that is that 90% you're looking for? He averaged 31-8-6 in round one, shot over 50% against the Suns.
I think he has to be slightly better than that.
Okay.
Because Jokic, you know, he's 30-15-10, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a different animal. So Edwards would have to, he'd have to go nuclear in order for them to win this series.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the NBA would love that, finding themselves a temporary face of the NBA until Wemby comes along, or maybe permanent with Anthony Edwards. Never really know what the future holds. But back to my pick, the Nuggets also do have home court, which could end up mattering a lot in a close series like this. More games at home. Closeout game will be at home if it does go seven. As I mentioned, Finch is hurt. Could make coaching weird early on, especially spreading the message through multiple parties to your players. Jokic will be the best player in this series. And also, Denver wasn't their best against the Lakers, if we're being honest. I do think they'll wake up and be much better this series against Minnesota, because they're going to have to be. If they want to win, if they play like they did against the Lakers, they're not going to win. They're not going to be able to go down by 20, go down by 10, be down the whole series, and then come back and win off of Murray heroics late in the game. They're not going to be able to do that every single game against Minnesota. They might be able to get away with one, but no more than that. Ultimately, with all that said, I went with the Nuggets in seven. This is going to be a good series. I'm a little worried about the Nuggets' depth compared to the Timberwolves' depth, and I think Minnesota can take advantage of the non-Jokic minutes by playing big, because I don't think Denver's bench can match up, because they have Nasri coming off the bench, and if you play with him with Kat or him with Rudy, when Gordon's playing backup five, I think that can give Denver some real issues. But if Denver can work their way through that, because Jokic plays like almost the whole game anyways for Denver, I am going with the Nuggets. They are more experienced. Like you said, I think Edwards still can get a little bit better, but it's not because of him either. I think there are a lot of other younger dudes on this team who still have another step that they can take. You know, Jaden McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander Walker, even Naz Reid. So this is really their first legit chance in the playoffs where we believe they can make a title run. And they could definitely win this game, but I'm still going Nuggets 7. Give me the experience. Nuggets just play perfect when they need to. You can't make mistakes against this team, as I said about the Lakers game. And that's why I feel good about them winning this in 7.
I agree. And it's no knock on Minnesota, to be honest. They're the second best team in the NBA, in my opinion. I don't think Boston is as good as their record showed, and especially since Porzingis is injured. They're really just one injury away over there in Boston from not being able to compete with either one of these teams. But in the hypothetical world that Minnesota ends up winning, knocking off the defending champs and winning the NBA Finals, what kind of impact would that have on Anthony Edwards?
Oh, he would be put into superstardom immediately by the NBA. He would be the face of everything they do next year, and everyone would keep talking about him. No one would be able to stop talking about him. everyone would literally see him as the next MJ, especially if they want a ring this year. And this is the team that can do it. Like you said, they're definitely one of those top three teams in the NBA. Really hard to debate that. They're the team that can beat the Nuggets. Not every team we would feel like could do that. Even probably might give them a better shot than Boston could. But Anthony Edwards would be thrust to the face of the NBA. To the NBA's disgust that he's in Minnesota while doing it, but at least they have someone to promote instead of LeBron or Steph.
Yeah, they need another American face, right? Because the top five of the NBA currently is littered with international players. And that's no knock on them. I'm excited to see the different styles of basketball that are playing. I mean, Jokic can dominate you without being able to jump over a curb. You know, Shea is one of the most crafty scorers in the NBA. Luka is James Harden 2.0. Giannis is Eurostep dunking from the free throw line, right? So it's really cool, the versatility in styles that we have in the NBA. But I think you're right. Anthony Edwards is that type of player that the NBA hopes can pull something like this off, because they don't have a face to show to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We're still so stuck in the Steph LeBron era. And now that they are either not making the playoffs or perpetually getting bounced in the first round, it's tough for the media to push anything else down the casual fan's throat, so to speak. My thoughts on if Edwards were to win the finals this season, it would remind me a whole lot like Dwayne Wade's first title run. Young, I think Dwayne Wade was 22, 23 as well. Finals MVP, you know, king of the world, king of the mountain at such a young age. I do think Edwards has potential to be as good as Dwayne Wade, maybe a little bit better. But that's a tall, tall task to put on a guy. I mean, Dwayne Wade is a top three player at his position, you know what I mean, of all time. But that would remind me a whole heck of a lot like what Dwayne Wade did his first title run if Edwards were to run the table this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then also touching back a little bit to the foreign faces of the NBA so far, I think like most of the recent champions, their best player has also been foreign-based, like Giannis and Jokic. Steph did get one in there. Kind of a crazy run when you look back at it. But you got that. And then also, just looking at these playoffs, where are all the old guys now? Where are all those old faces now? Like, they're not here still. The Clippers are the last team remaining, and by the end of the night, by the time this comes out, they might not even be in the playoffs anymore. So the NBA is turning their new leaf. The old guys as the best player on their team is kind of starting to phase out a little bit, right? Jimmy Butler lost, LeBron lost, Steph lost, KD lost. And now we're looking at these young guys, and we're going to be able to see who's going to rise to the top out of this new group of players.
I totally agree. That's one reason why I wanted to pick Minnesota so badly. Is because I love Anthony Edwards. I love his attitude. I love what he brings to the table as far as a player, as far as a person to root for. So I'm going to be cheering for Minnesota. I just couldn't pick him against Jokic. The guy is on another level right now. And I don't see it stopping for at least this postseason.
And we'd like to thank everyone who listened today. Let us know, who do you think is winning this series, Minnesota or Denver? As always, we'd like to hear your opinion. And thanks for listening to Second Take today. We will see you guys next time.